At 6:20, this is KERA News. I'm Justin Martin. Former Dallas City Councilmember John Loza has died. The Dallas Voice reports Loza was elected as an openly gay man to the City Council in 1997. He served four consecutive terms. In 2000, he announced he was leaving the Republican Party because of the GOP's stance on LGBT and immigration issues. Today, Dallas City Councilmember Philip Kingston called Loza a true friend and mentor.
He was a really effective advocate. At the time that he came into office, Dallas had not seen somebody like that before. And he really did make Dallas a better place, which is, I think, what we all would like to have said about us.
John Loza was 54. President Trump today signed an executive order ending his controversial policy of separating children from their families at the U.S.-Mexico border. It's not clear yet how these children will be reunited with their parents. In Dallas, city and community leaders gathered at City Hall to speak out about what's been happening along the border. KERA's Stella Chavez reports.
Activists from across North Texas plan to head to South Texas on Saturday to protest. Domingo Garcia is president of the Dallas chapter of the League of United Latin American Citizens. He says they'll join others from across the state.
From San Antonio, from Corpus Christi, from Laredo, Houston, we're all going to McAllen, Texas, to the McAllen Ursulin Detention Center where children are being kept.
Garcia says activists will travel by bus and visit three detention centers along the border. One of those people who will join him is Reverend Peter Johnson, a longtime civil rights leader and member of the Southern Christian Leadership Conference.
All I have seen in these 73 years have not offended me as much as this has offended me.
Amen.
I've seen insides of more than 100 jails. I have never seen nothing as offensive and disgraceful and unchristian-like as this is.
Amen.
We must go to the valley and stand up for children who cannot stand up for themselves.
The speakers represented a diverse cross-section of North Texas: Latino, Black, White, Christian, and Muslim. While they spoke, news broke that President Trump would sign an executive order to stop the separation of families. Omar Suleiman with Faith for Dallas said changing the policy wouldn't be enough, considering the Trump administration's stance toward immigrants and refugees.
You can't just say that we're going to stop putting people in concentration camps. What about those that have already been put in concentration camps? You can't just say that we're going to stop detaining people in airports. What about our disgraceful record on refugees?
In North Texas, some officials are offering to help house immigrant families who've been detained along the border. Dallas County Judge Clay Jenkins has said some buildings, like schools, could be converted to shelters. And in Fort Worth, the Catholic Diocese says it has placed some immigrant children in its facility run by Catholic Charities. Stella Chavez, KERA News.
Clementine Wamaria was just 6 years old when her home country of Rwanda erupted into civil war. She spent the next 6 years in and out of camps and satellite settlements before finally being granted asylum in the U.S. Today on Think, she talked with Chris Boyd about why she doesn't use the word refugee.
Labels such as refugee or homeless, they're blinding. You don't see what I see in a person. You don't see the great father. You don't see a great mother. You don't see a sister. Labels make us miss each other's shared humanity. And so I'm here to really encourage all of us to go beyond labels, because I'm so saddened that I get to see people through that lens without label, alone sometimes. And there are other people, I'm sure, who also see people beyond labels, right? And so a person seeking refuge, a person without a home. Now that connects to you. A person who does not have home. A person before anything. A human before all kinds of labels.
Clementine Wamaria's memoir is called The Girl Who Smiled Beads, a story of war and what comes after. She'll talk more about it tonight at 7:30 at the Dallas Museum of Art. This episode of Think re-airs tonight at 10, and you can subscribe to the podcast at think.com. KERA.org. Thousands of Texas Democrats are expected to pack into the Fort Worth Convention Center tomorrow for the Texas Democratic Party Convention. They'll write their party platform and rally the faithful ahead of this fall's midterm elections. But as KEI's Christopher Connolly reports, the Democrats are gathering in the state's one urban county they don't dominate.
Tarrant County is bright red. In 2016, voters overwhelmingly picked Donald Trump for president. In the governor's race 2 years earlier, they chose Greg Abbott over Wendy Davis by a lot. And she was a hometown state senator. Voters in the county elect about 100 politicians in local partisan races, and only about 10% of them are Democrats.
So let me just talk a little about that for a minute.
Deborah Peoples chairs the Tarrant County Democratic Party. She says one big reason Democrats here have won so few seats on the commissioner's court, in the state house, or in Congress is that Republicans drew district lines that make it tough for Democrats to win.
I mean, these are all single member districts, and they are gerrymandered to the moon and back.
Peoples says this year, Democrats are upping their game. They started working earlier, doing more outreach, and coordinating with candidates and other progressive groups. And the party recruited Democrats to run for more offices. She thinks they'll pair nicely with the energetic campaigners at the top of the ballot, like Senate hopeful Beto O'Rourke.
The biggest thing that I continue to hear, or we hear in this office, is I go to the ballot and there are no Democrats to vote for.
Still, nobody thinks Democrats will take over the county anytime soon.
It is hard to summarize in a nice, neat, small paragraph the kinds of challenges that the Democrats face in Tarrant County.
Rebecca Dean chairs the political science department at UT Arlington. She says there are a lot of reasons Tarrant County has stayed red when almost every other major urban county in the country has turned blue.
Because it is demographics, it is geography, it is urban density, it is history.
Dean says Fort Worth has long been a moderate business-focused city. Tarrant County has a large defense industry, and there are a lot of very active, very effective Tea Party groups. In terms of density, there's a lot of suburbs in the county, but even chunks of Fort Worth are built and vote like the suburbs. Now, the demographics in Tarrant County are changing, and they're changing in ways that typically favor Democrats.
Yes, absolutely, that is true. But just because they are there does not mean they are going to be voters who will come out and vote for you. And so you've got to have that partisan infrastructure to help get them out to the polls and actually cast the ballots.
Local Democrats say they know it'll take a long-term strategy to turn Tarrant blue, but this year they're feeling optimistic. Mark Vesey is the county's lone Democratic member of Congress.
In the past, the biggest problem that Texas Democrats have had in midterm elections is just not a lot of enthusiasm going into midterms. Now it's completely opposite. If you look at the polling that's out there, it's consistently been that Republicans absolutely have no enthusiasm and that Democrats have all the enthusiasm and that our people are going to turn out.
VC says Democrats will be out in force leading up to the election, and he thinks their big tent message is a good contrast to a Republican Party that's become increasingly ideological.
People that I went to high school with, people that I've grown up with that are longtime Republicans are just saying they don't even know what they are anymore.
Hopefully, he says, a good message and strong candidates will help move the needle. If nothing else, it'll give Democrats something to rally around at their convention. Christopher Connolly, KERA News.
And coming up tomorrow morning, one of the most important figures in the history of public television is the subject of a new documentary. Our big screen team talks about the life and times of Fred Rogers. And conversations tomorrow morning at 8:23 during Morning Edition. Mostly cloudy skies expected later tonight. There's a 50% chance for storms this evening, low around 75. Tomorrow, mostly sunny, slight chance of rain with a high around 95. At 6:30, this is KERA News.